go wherever you say. Say the word and I'll obey. I want to live a life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all this and more. So I give you more, more. Oh, I give you more, oh, more. Let's sing it again. Hey, oh, I want to give my best to you. I want to do what you ask me to. I want to go wherever you say. Say the word and I'll obey. I want to live a life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for real. For you deserve all this and more, oh God, and I give you more, oh more. Yes, I give you more, oh more. You deserving of more? Oh, say. Deserving of more. Yes, you are. You deserving of more. Oh, you deserving of more. Lord, you deserving of more. You deserving of more. Oh, you deserving of more. Oh, yes, you are. You're deserving of more. You're deserving of more. So I give you more, Lord. I give you more. I give you more. Oh, I give you more. Oh, I give you more. Yes, I give you more. Hey, I give you more. Oh, I give you more. You're deserving of more. Oh, you're deserving of more. Yes, you are. You're deserving of more. 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 Let's give him a hand of praise tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're grateful to be able to come into the house of the Lord tonight. God, to come and to worship you through this time of studying your word together. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your voice would speak to us, that you would just bring clarity and understanding of scripture. And your prophet told us if revelation was beyond us, then we should look up and ask you for it. So tonight we ask that you would reveal yourself to us, because we realize that the gates of hell can't prevail against revelation. Thank you, God, for that. Lord, as we come, bless those that are here, those that may still be on the way, those that would join us online. God, bless them and speak to them right where they are. And God, those that are unable to be with us tonight, Lord, we pray that you'd look upon them as well. We pray that you'd get all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The Lord. Amen. Let's get our Bibles. We are going to start a new study, amen, in Hebrews chapter 12. So let's just read that chapter. As we just start here tonight, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. So this is the chapter that we will begin our study over the next couple weeks, and certainly looking forward to all that the Lord would have for us. And just want to start with a little statement here from the prophet. Amen. If you'd hit next for me, please. It says in the Bible, or the Hebrew letter tells us, that Hebrews 12, that all of these things of the Old Testament were shadows and types and were signs, mileposts that we could look at and their examples. We see when men failed to serve God, what happened. We see when men who stood out like a real soldier, out like real soldiers and served God, we see what happened. So we can take from there a choice, and I trust tonight, if there be any here that's out of the way, that you'll make Christ your choice tonight before the services is over. Amen. So he's telling us that as we're going through Hebrews, we're seeing different things. He says here in Hebrews 12, different types and things in the Old Testament. There were shadows and types, signs, mileposts, things that we can look at, things that we can get an example from. So I trust that the Lord just kind of take us through this journey, and amen, that we would just receive more revelation of his word. There's the end of this quote. I don't have it on the screen, but I just want to read it for you. I don't have it in the notes either. I just want to read. It's just a little paragraph. It says, may God in some way give us words to say or something that would cause your attention to be turned from the things of the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. To know him is life. Not to know the church or not to know the catechism isn't life. Not to know the Bible, though as good as it is, not to know the Bible is life. Satan knows the Bible real well. But to know him is life, to know Christ as personal Savior, it's life to everyone. So our hope is that we draw closer to him as we go through, amen, deeper into this chapter in Hebrews. Amen. Let's go this next, just a few statements that I want to give to you as we get started. Amen. This first statement says, maybe that's the reason some of us are not getting along so well. We're holding on to things that we ought to let go. I like that. We're going to get there a little bit. As the scripture says, lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. And the prophets say maybe the reason some of us not getting along so well is because we're holding on to things that we ought to let go. We should have let go. Laying aside every sin's weight. That's another indicator to me. There are some things God not going to deliver you from. There are some things God just want you to just give up on your own. That's why the Bible says lay aside every sin and every weight. God expects you just to give that up. Amen. And they say the reason we're not getting along so well because we're holding on to things that we should have let go. Praise the Lord. Another little statement that we'll hit here. The chastening of our Father is not pleasant for a season. But finally it brings, and he says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So sometimes we've been chastened by God. It don't feel good. It's not pleasant, but it's working together for your good. It's working together for your good. And every child that comes to God will be chastened. Amen. Every child will be chastened. And you say, why is that? Because every child going to do something displeasing to the Father. Praise the Lord. We do it to our natural parents. We do it to God as well. We always say something, do something that's displeasing to God. So we all have to go through chastening. Amen. It says this, if you talk about one another and belittle some other Christian or something like that, remember, you're hurting God. That is a powerful statement. And if you all recall the story, amen, of Sister Branham developing the tumor, Sister Branham had said something to Brother Branham that he was quite okay with. He understood his wife's position. He understood the pressure that she was under, and for her to respond the way she responded about, you know, chastising one of the kids, he understood, you know, that she didn't mean it that way. But it wasn't that she displeased Brother Branham. She actually displeased God. And God told the prophet, go tell her to read a particular chapter of Numbers. I think it's Numbers 12. Go tell her to read that. And he like, you want me to go tell her? You know she upset. Like, go tell her to read Numbers 12. And Miriam got in trouble because of something that she said to Moses, right? And about Moses' wife, something that she said. Miriam got in trouble with God and had to spend 7 days outside the camp like a leper. My God. She displeased God. And when Sister Branham did this to Brother Branham, she displeased God. The words that she said. So Brother Branham, I mean, the Lord told Brother Branham, she's going to have to pay for that one. And because she did something that actually hurt me, that's powerful. Amen. Watch what we say. Watch how we say it. We don't know when we might hurt God. Your spouse or your child might be able to take it, but or your parent might be able to take it. But what about God? Can he handle what you about to say? Can he handle what you just said? Can God handle that? Right? Hallelujah. Right? Will that offend God? That's the way you got to think about it, because God is dwelling in your loved one. He says, be careful, right? And when you belittle some other Christian, something like that, remember, you're hurting God. You're hurting God. But Sister Branham developed that tumor, and she went for many days suffering from this tumor. But lo and behold, Brother Branham kept praying for her, and eventually God brought her through. Amen, and delivered her from that tumor. He prayed a prayer, before the doctor's hand touched my wife's body, the tumor would be gone. And God answered the prayer. But we got to be careful. Remember, if we talk about one another, we belittle some other Christian, something like that. Amen. He says something like that. Remember, you're hurting God. You're hurting God. All right. I love this. Oh, we have a word for us all at this time. It is hold fast, persevere, and don't give up. Amen. If you're looking for a word from the Lord, when you're going through, your word is hold fast, persevere. That means press through whatever you're going through, persevere, and don't give up. Amen. That's the word from the Lord. He made a statement, we'll hit it. Says, I'd rather have a little wildfire than have no fire at all. And I agree with the prophet. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. The service goes a lot better even with wildfire. Amen. Amen. It just makes it so easy for people to enter into worship and the preacher to preach. Amen. When we got fire in the church. Glory to God. All right. Makes this statement. Hit next for me, please. It says, we are not of the world. We are different from the world. Live a different life, a separated life. We're never to live the life of the world and be a Christian. I like that. We're never to live the life of the world and be a Christian. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, this young lady told me one time, she was talking about dress code for sisters, and she said, you can be saved and sexy at the same time. I said, Lord, have mercy. Where did they get that from? What about being holy? Right? We're never to live the life of a world and let the life of the world and also be a Christian. We should be so different from what the world is doing. As believers, we should be so different. Amen. The world is not our example, but Christ is. Amen. Christ is. And this statement, I just read it to you, but I'll read it to you here. To know him is life, not to know the church or not to know the catechism isn't life. Not to know the Bible, though as good as it is, not to know the Bible is life. And some people, they can quote the scripture like crazy, but that's all they're doing, just quoting. They're not living anything. Not to know the Bible is life. Satan knows the Bible real well. But to know him, Christ, right? To know him is Christ. To know Christ as personal savior, as savior, is life to everyone. If we know Christ as personal savior, it's life to everyone. All right. So here in Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that's the key, running this race with patience. This Christian race that we're in is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Now, when you're running a sprint, amen, you get out there and you run as fast as you can for a very short amount of time. And at the end of the race, that's when you breathe, pretty much. But when you're running a marathon, you got to learn how to breathe while you're running, because that's what gives you the endurance to be able to keep going. And it's not a sprint where you're trying to just, you know, you're trying to outrun everybody. No, it's a marathon. The key thing is just making it to the end. Right. But here in this Christian journey that we're on, we got to learn that this is a marathon, and we got to prepare ourselves. Run this race with patience. Praise the Lord. Run it with patience. We talked about that on Sunday. Just because you pray and you use Jesus' name don't mean you're going to get an answer like that. You know, as soon as you get the promise from God, you have to expect the test next. Amen. When you get the promise that God going to do something, now the test has to come, and you got to prove that you're going to believe God through the midst of that test and through that trial. You got to run your race with patience, with patience. Amen. Amen. He is an on-time God, and he is a right-now God, but he's teaching us patience while we're waiting on him. All right. The prophet makes this statement, says, we're stopping too much for little social things. We're stopping too much and tolerate with the world. We're stopping too much to see if we don't get a little bit too fanatically. I'm more afraid of the person that's afraid. Now notice that statement. I'm more afraid of the person that's afraid than I am the person that is a fanatic. I'm more afraid of the person that's afraid than I am the person that is a fanatic. That's right. Oh my, I'd rather have a little wildfire than have no fire at all. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a couple quotes here that he gives us. Actually, before we go there, just a little scripture that kind of connects with running with patience. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll start at verse 4. All right. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Amen. I love that. I love that. The scripture gives us very clear instruction here. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And I'm going to tell you, this is a very, we're living in a society today where people have a hard time. The younger have a hard time submitting themselves to the older, right? This is a very difficult time. A lot of people nowadays have an issue with authority. Now, in my day, it was a very simple thing. You know, and I don't know what happened. It was common for us to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, to somebody older than us. And now you got people saying, no, don't call me ma'am, don't call me sir. They get offended, absolutely offended, if you call them ma'am, right? And and what happens, that was just a thing of respect. That's all it was. But when they start taking that away, now we start blurring the lines. Hallelujah. We start blurring the lines and everybody feel like they're the same. No, 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 no. If a person's been here on this earth a little bit longer than you, God put them ahead of you for a reason. Amen. Otherwise, I mean, you can gain from their wisdom. You can gain from their knowledge. You can gain from that. But you got to be able to submit yourself. I do this still all the time. Somebody older than me, when I was young, I thought that I might have known a little bit more than daddy and mama. I come to realize a little bit later on, I did not know as much as daddy and mama. You know, my daddy used to tell me that. I know you think you know more than I do. You know, he used to say that. He'd say, but just trust me, I know a little bit more. I come to find out now, daddy was right. And the scripture gives clear instruction for, you know, everybody. Younger, submit yourself. And this is something that you got to make a conscious decision to do. Submit yourself to an elder. Submit yourself to an elder. My God, now we got the elder submitting to the younger. Y'all know that's the truth. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible goes and says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And this is the key statement here where when we're talking about running with patience, the Bible told us, seeing that you can pass about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which so easily besets us. So laying aside the weight and sin. Here in verse 7 it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, that's beautiful. Whatever you got, take it to Jesus. Whatever you're facing, take it to Jesus, right? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. I love that. After you have suffered a while. After, not before you suffer, but after you have suffered a while. Look. You got to understand, your character is being demonstrated, reflected when people see you suffer. It's easy to smile when everything going well. It's easy to come in here and shout when everything going well. But God want to know, are you still going to be faithful when they threaten to put you in fire? Are you still going to be faithful when they threaten to put you in a lion's den? You still going to serve God? What about if you lose your job? Are you still able to come to church and still worship? Right? If you lose some of the things that you've been able to gain, are you still able to come to church and worship? What if you lost your house? Can you come and worship? What if they came and took your car? Could you call somebody and say, I need a ride to church? Or would you say, I ain't got no ride, so I can't come to church? Huh? Glory to God. Right? God want to watch you be faithful in the midst of what you're going through. Amen. It tells a lot about you. It tells a lot. So here the scripture says, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Let's read a few quotes here on Hebrews 12:1. This is coming out of the message. Melchizedek, the great prince and king. The prophet says, and Abraham left the land, sojourned, called himself a stranger and a pilgrim. And look, Abraham is, as all mortals, not an immortal man, not a man that can't make a mistake. So Abraham is not a man that can't make a mistake, but constantly made mistakes. But no matter how many mistakes he made, his anchor still held. I love that. For he had the promise. So he took with him Sarah. He took Lot. He took his daddy. And as long as they was with him, God could not bless him. See, there's some people that God, when God calling you, he not calling all of them with you. You got to be able to go alone. Hallelujah. Right. As long as they was with him, God could not bless him. The old man finally died. They buried him. They went on up a little further and Lot backslid. And you know what happened there? Then he separated himself from him. Then God appeared to him again and said, now, Abraham, look all over the ground. It's all yours. When he made the right choice. It goes on. It says, that's it. Separate yourself from everything. I'll have to say this. Look, I hope it finds its resting place because I never thought it at premeditation. Maybe that's the reason some of us are not getting along so well. We're holding on to things that we ought to let go. Now, you talk about Abraham. Abraham couldn't get blessed until he separated from Lot. Hallelujah. And there are some blessings that's being hindered in our lives because we connected to the wrong people. I don't know if y'all heard that. There's some blessings that are hindered in our life because we connected to the wrong people. Sometimes God ain't calling for them. Not yet. Amen. Their season will come. Not yet. Glory to God. But God want to deal with you, and he want to bless you. And you just can't bring them along. You bring it on dead weight. Amen. It's dead weight. You can't bring that along with you. Hallelujah. So maybe that's the reason some of us are not getting along so well. We're holding on to things that we ought to let go. There used to be a time, nowadays you got to fight with people to come to the altar to repent. You almost got to pay them to repent, you know. But it used to be a time the conviction would come down in the church and folk would go running to the altar, right? And then it got to a point where, you know, people would feel that conviction, but they sitting next to their friend. Hallelujah. And that friend puts off a certain atmosphere. Where they don't want to go to the altar, or they don't want that friend to see them go to the altar. So they'll sit there and converse back and forth with that friend. And will you go to the altar with me? Well, God wasn't dealing with the friend, right? God was dealing with you. And here you go running to the altar and get nothing, right? Because you came with the wrong person. God didn't need them. God wanted you. Their time will come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to realize this. And when you start realizing it calls for a separation. Calls for a separation. When I became a Christian, there were people I used to hang with that I could not hang with anymore. Amen. I didn't feel comfortable with them, and they showed didn't feel comfortable with me. Amen. If you got unsaved friends that feel comfortable in your presence, something may be wrong. Unsaved people that never feel conviction when they come around you, something may be wrong. Amen. Light is always supposed to show up darkness. If I walk into this dark church and I flip on a light switch, all the darkness scatters and light now is present. So when you walk into somebody's situation with all that light in your life, it should change some things. Praise the Lord. You know the way the way people run from preachers? Now, don't invite the preacher. Don't invite the preacher to come to this. They know light coming into the midst of that darkness. But if you can, they feel, I can't invite Brother Jack, but you. There's something wrong somewhere, church. Amen. Glory to God. They ought to feel a little conviction. I didn't want to leave you out, but we're gonna do this, and I didn't want to really leave you out, but I don't really expect you to come either. Okay, thank you. You said it out your mouth. You and I know why. You don't have to explain why you weren't expecting me. I know why. Thanks for the invitation, but no thanks. Praise the Lord. And then you get a reputation, they're going to say no all the time. To that, yes. I'm going to say no every time. Praise God. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. We Christians, we don't have the same appetite. We don't go to the same places. We don't get joy out of the same things. Praise God. But maybe that's the reason some of us are not getting along so well. We're holding on to things that we ought to let go. And can I just also say this? There's sometimes God absolutely create or allow circumstances. Let me put it that way. God allows circumstances for your ties to be broken to certain relationships. You can see God do it. I mean, something just come out. How did that happen? And rather than you just letting go, you fighting to keep it. Let's fix this. No, God was delivering you. That was your freedom, right? So sometimes God trying to get you out of a situation, like when Abraham and Lot, they got into a little fight over a well. And when that came up, Abraham knew it's time for us to separate. He said, look, Lot, I'm going to give you the best choice. You go, you make a choice. You can take this. You can, whatever you take, I'll take the least. You take the best. Lot looked down and saw Sodom and Gomorrah, a city that's already established. Man, I'm taking my family down there. Abraham, you can take this. You can have the well, and you can have. And I'm going on down here. He gave Lot the best choice. Now, as soon as Lot separated and started walking off, God told Abraham, now turn around, look, count the stars, count the sand. This is the blessings that I got for you. But it was only after Lot was gone. He couldn't speak to Lot like that. Understand something. If God would have gave it to Abraham while Lot was present, then Lot would have had access to it as well. But this blessing wasn't for Lot. Oh, Jesus. This was for Abraham. The reason some of us are not getting along so well, we're holding on to things that we ought to let go. It says it's separation, a little doubt, a little wonder, a little skeptic, wonder if it's right. Could this be? Could that be? How could it be? Cut loose. This morning, Hebrews 12:1 said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Because some things is not sin, but they are weights. They slow you down. They stop you. You can't pray like you want to pray. Amen. You can't read the Bible like you want to read the Bible. You can't listen to the tapes like you want to listen to the tapes. Because we got weights, and we got to lay aside the weights. Listen, what is that? The unbelief. The sin, what is that? The unbelief that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And this is out of the Message Inspiration. Oh my, what the preacher needs today is a staff and take off. Burn the ox and the implements. Get ready. Say, you'll take off, and if any man invites you over to a social party, don't you go. If they're going to have a soup supper, don't you believe it. If they're going to have a stop and play bunco in a church, don't you believe it. If any man salute you, salute him not, but go straight and lay it on the baby. That's the commission of the church today, to lay aside every weight and sin that doth easily beset us, that we might run the race with patience that is set before us. Hebrews 12 said, seeing we're compassed about with such a great crowd of witnesses, how the miracles was done by faith, said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. We're stopping too much for little social things. We're stopping too much and tolerate with the world. We're stopping too much to see if we don't get a little bit too fanatically. Amen. I'm scared. I'm more afraid of the person that's afraid than I am the person that is a fanatic. That's right. Oh, my. I'd rather have a little wildfire than have no fire at all. Sure. Oh, my. I wonder if the church just tried coming, just if everybody came on one Sunday with just a little wildfire. I'm going to do something different. Amen. If the person I'm sitting next to is hindering me from just doing something different, then I'm going to move on this Sunday. And I'm going to just, maybe I'm going to sit next to like a Sister Brown. Man, somebody don't mind saying it. Amen. Right. I'm going to do something different. Let some of that rub off on me. Glory to God. Little Sister Taffy, I just believe it, right? Hallelujah. I mean, I guarantee the whole atmosphere of the service will change. Amen. If somebody just, Lord, I would just want to worship you in a way that's called heresy today. Amen. Listen, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. Sure. I would. I'd rather be around a fire that's popping and jumping anytime if the world's cold than to be around an iceberg. Certainly, don't paint a fire. You can't get warm by a painted fire. You got to have some real fire. Not what the apostles done. The Holy Ghost in the apostles, because the same Holy Ghost today the Holy Ghost in the Holy Ghost in the apostle calls the same Holy Ghost today is let's move on. Also, he goes on in this next sermon, Enticing Spirits. Says Jesus in his prayer said, Father, sanctify myself. Jesus becomes sanctified to the church. He could have got married, but he didn't do it. He becomes sanctified. He said, sanctify them, Father, to the truth. Thy word is the truth. Now let's lay aside every weight. If you got a temper, you got something about you that you talk when you ought not to talk. Oh God, lay it there now. Lay it there. Watch the fire of the altar come down and take it away. Watch the love of God. Now see, now he's saying lay the temper there, right? Lay aside every sin and every weight. Lay it down. If you're talking out of turn, lay that down. Praise the Lord. Not, Lord, deliver me from this. No, lay it down. That's from the devil. Lay it down, right? It says, God, lay it there now. Lay it there. Watch the fire of the altar come down and take it away. Watch the love of God lick it up. Watch all that old selfishness. The way you've been talking to your wife. The way you've been talking to your husband. The way you've been talking to the neighbor. The way you talked about the people in the church. Now that would be kind of shameful if you and the neighbor got a spat going. Praise the Lord. Amen. Here you come out and the neighbor running to get away from you. And I'm going to let you know. No, when you going to let it die? Praise the Lord. Right? That they ought to see something different in us, church. Glory to God. Listen. The way you've been talking to your neighbor, the way you talked about the people in the church, lay it on the altar this morning. I say tonight, lay it on the altar and the fire of God will come down and take it right away and divine love will burn in its place. Lord, we need that, Jesus. If you got sickness, lay it on the altar. Say, Lord, here it is. Create in me a clean spirit. Create in me a healing power. See what God will do. God will do it. I want to say tonight. He said this morning, but I say tonight. God will do it. This is very, very important. Let us lay aside every weight, every sin that so easily besets us. And let's run the race with patience. The race that's set before us. Let's run it with patience. Let's go on here to this next slide. I like this. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When I think about that, it just blesses me. And I want to let me give you a little quote here, and then I want to read a scripture. The prophet says, notice that according to Jesus himself, who wrote the revelation, he is set down with the Father. The Spirit in Paul, which Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, for that is the Spirit of prophecy whereby the word comes, says he is set down at the right hand of God. But when John looked, he saw only one upon the throne. And John looked in Revelation chapter 4. We'll hit this a little bit in a little bit. So when we look at the scripture saying that he endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down upon the right hand of the throne of God. We got to always remember God is a spirit, and he does not have physical hands like we have physical hands. When the Bible uses the language that Jesus is at the right hand of God, Jesus is at, you know, in a place of authority and power. That's why when we pray, we don't pray in the name of the Father. We don't pray in the name of the Spirit or in the name of the Son. We always use the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, because that's a place of authority and power. So at the right hand is a place of authority and power. And when John saw in Revelation chapter 4, he only saw one on the throne. But Paul said he was at the right hand, that Jesus was at the right hand. Well, if John only sees one on the throne, then that must mean that Jesus and God are the same person. And Jesus was simply just the flesh that God used to bring redemption to sinful man. Hallelujah. We don't serve three gods, one God. Amen. And he is Father, he is Son, and he is the Holy Ghost. All right, let's read something. I love this about the joy that's set before him. Go to Genesis 29. I think that, you know, the way Christ went to the cross, because we were the joy that was set before him. He was willing to endure the cross. He was willing to go through the shame, the pain, the shame, the suffering. He thought about you, right? And he was willing to do that because of his love for you. And I think that any man that has that type of love for his wife, then he'll do things that you know, just to kind of demonstrate and show that love. Here in Genesis 29, we hear the story of Jacob and Rachel. I'm going to pick up at verse 9 here in Genesis 29. And this is Jacob after he left home because he stole his brother's birthright and blessing. He got both of them. And he knew that Esau was going to kill him, so he left home. And his mother sent him to her brother, which was Laban. And he finally reaches and finds Laban. He finds Rachel first. And let's look at this, verse 9. While he yet spake with them, he's speaking to some other shepherds, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And verse 19, and Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man, abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. Now, this was, you know, when I look at this, I thought about how Jacob, amen, handled himself at work because of the joy that was set before him. Rachel was the joy that was set before Jacob. And he was willing to not just work, but he worked 7 years before he got paid. His payment was to be able to marry Rachel. Young sisters, please do not get yourself involved with a man that won't work. Please don't. I got to join Brother Bernard. I got to stand with my brother. You find out these things, but a man should be, he should be like Brother Bernard. Ask him how many jobs. I mean, where you working at? And if he come tell you he was working, and then you have a conversation about a month later, how was work today? Oh, I quit that job. And then he tell you why, and so on and so on. And so, well, I got another opportunity. Okay, all right, that's great, that's great. And then, you know, a month later, you have another conversation. Oh, I quit that job. And I mean, honey, don't you think that there's not a problem? If he's telling you that he quit that job and he keep on quitting jobs, when y'all get married, you got a person that is not going to uphold their end of the bargain. And you're going to work two or three jobs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you want to find a man that got some character that don't mind going to work. Hallelujah. Not just going to work, but also able to put up with some stuff at work. Amen. Because it's going to be some stuff. It's going to be stuff. No matter what job he go to, it's going to be some stuff there. You got to watch to see if he can endure. Y'all know what? Yeah, it's not said in these verses, but if you go back and read the story of Jacob, he's going to say that, Laban, you changed my wages 10 times. And now, but the Bible tells us that he had no problem. He went to work for 7 years, and for him it seemed like just a few days. That's a man that's in love with a lady, and that the joy that's set before him will cause him to just do just about anything to get her. Another thing is, by what we see here, is that he was willing to wait on her. You got a young man pushing you and winning. And can you wait? You've been waiting this long. You can wait a little bit longer. Praise the Lord. It's all in the scripture, y'all. And if you really joy that's set before him, he'll wait. I'm not talking about just putting him off just to be putting him off. Praise the Lord. But you might have some things that you're trying to get accomplished. Like, you know, I'm trying to get this done. Then I'll be ready. Amen. Glory to God. And if y'all can come up and do some things together, that's great. But, you know, but if you can't, glory to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I don't think a young lady should have to quit school if she's going to school. I don't think she should have to quit if they can't do it together. Amen. You can get married and not have kids right away. You can do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, he want to start a family immediately. But y'all both going to school. Look, that the education's going to help you. I'm a different pastor. I'm a different pastor. The education going to help you later on. You're going to need it. If you want to compete in the work world, you're going to need that. Praise the Lord. Everybody can't build. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody can't build. Amen. So, you know, look, it's okay. And I mean, it's okay to, you can wait on each other. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I believe you can do it both ways. You can either get married and go to school together, or or you can just wait till you finish school and get married. You can do that. And I mean, Jacob waited 7 years, and it seemed like it was just a few days. And he was only there for a month. Praise the Lord. That's real. And when they went through trials, they were standing by each other's side. All right. Let me go on back over here to some of these quotes. But I just thought about the joy that was set before him. As Jesus proved himself to us, and he was willing to go to a cross, die the worst death that any man could die, because of the joy that was set before him. And I want to tell you, you are the joy that was set before him. They said, cross. Jesus said, I'll take it. For her, I'll take it. For him, I'll take it. That's the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. The Bible says he looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You got to endure something, right? Despise the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love that. Let's read a few quotes here. Amen. This is the message of Elijah. I could say to that light bulb tonight, what are you shining for? He'd say to me, if you could speak, he'd say, Brother Branham, it's not me shining. I'm just a wire and a bulb here, but it's something running through me, making me shine. And that is every man that's born of the Spirit of God. He can't help from believing God does things because the power of God has from a great dynamo yonder, a generator that's moving in that man's innermost beings. And he has to shine out in a testimony for the glory of God. Amen. What we need is an old-fashioned breaking up. What we need is a cleaning up. What we need is not a whitewashing, but a washing white. All we need is a getting rid of these things. The Bible said, let us lay aside every weight that so easily besets, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Now, this message, the revelation of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham is just kind of bringing to us the, give us a little bit more clarity on when we talk about the right hand of God. This is what the scriptures say, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. This is what Paul said. Remember, it's not that God has a big right hand that Jesus is sitting on. When John saw him as one sitting on the throne, it's just proof that the Lord Jesus and God the Father is the same person. Amen. It's the same person, just manifested at different times for a specific purpose. He was God above us. He was God with us in Jesus. And now he's God in us in the form of the Holy Ghost. It's the same God. Here in the message, the revelation of Jesus Christ in the church age book, he says, don't be confused because he has three offices or that he has a threefold manifestation. On earth, he was a prophet. In heaven, he is the priest, and coming back to earth, he is King of Kings. He that was, that is Jesus, the prophet. He that is he, the high priest, making intercession. One who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, which is to come, that is the coming King. On earth, he was the Word, the prophet. Moses said of him, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like unto me, and it will come to pass if they don't hear the words of that prophet. They will be cut off from amongst the people. And it says, now notice these facts about Jesus on earth. He was a prophet, lamb and son. This did not make him three. These were but manifestations or offices of the one person, Jesus. Now there is a very favorite portion of scripture that the Trinitarians think proved their point of more than one actual person in the Godhead. It is Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. And it says there, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So the lamb has taken the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, just think about that. I mean, you know, because when you're trying to prove that it's three gods, it's saying the lamb took the book. This is an animal taking a book. Why would an animal want a book? Right? It doesn't make sense. So there's more to this than just a physical animal going and taking a book out of the right hand. But it goes on. It says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the presence of saints. Indeed, these verses, if isolated, would seem to prove their point. You notice I said these isolated verses. However, when you read Revelation 4, verse 2 and 3 and 9 through 11, says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one, he's bringing highlight there, one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before their throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Carefully note in verse 2, it says one, not two or three, but one, set on the throne. In verse 3, it says he, not they, was to look upon as a jasper stone. In verse 9, it says that the beast gave honor to him, not them. In verse 10, it says that the elders fell down before him, not them. In verse 11, it says that they cried, "Thou art worthy, O Lord," not lords. Also in verse 11, it says this one on the throne was the creator, which is Jesus, according to John 1:3, which is Jehovah's Spirit, God of the Old Testament, Genesis 1:1. And it goes on a little further. It says, but let's not stop there. Read now in Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Also read Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice that according to Jesus himself, who wrote the revelation, he is set down with the Father, the Spirit in Paul, which is the spirit of prophecy, whereby the word comes, says he is set down at the right hand of God. But when John looked, he saw only one upon the throne. And it was not until Revelation 5, verse 6 through 8, which follows Revelation 4, 2 and 3 in sequence of time, that we see the Lamb taking the book from him that sat on the throne, as indicated in Revelations 4, 2 through 3 and 9 through 10. What is it? It is the mystery of one God. He, Jesus, came out from God, became manifested in flesh, died and rose again, and returns to the bosom of the Father. As John said, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, John 1:18. It was now time for God, Messiah, to come back to claim his bride and then present himself, make himself known to Israel. Thus we see God again stepping forth to assume a physical relationship to man as the Son of David, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and bridegroom of the Gentile bride. It is not two gods, but simply one God manifesting his mighty triune offices and titles. And how we thank God that we can see him as one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is Father of us all. Thank God we can see it that way. Amen. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So here he's coming, amen, out from God because he has a joy that's set before him. And that joy that is set before him is you. You're separated from him. You're disconnected from him. Mankind has lost their place in Christ. Amen. But he come out from God in order to restore that place back. Amen. For us. And then he goes back to the Father, not just on his right hand, but he's actually right back in the bosom of God. Amen. Sitting in the throne with God because it is only one God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, we'll stop there. Amen. Tonight. And we will pick up on the next lesson next week. But thank God for this. Thank God for this. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the word of the Lord. God, as we just kind of get a chance to look at these scriptures and apply them, Lord, both naturally and spiritually, how grateful we are. Jesus, may the word just continue to transform us and change us, Lord, not just be head knowledge, but let it be something that really brings us into a deeper, more meaningful relationship with you. Lord, we thank you that we were the joy that was set before you, that you were willing to go to a cross. You were willing to go through much suffering, much pain, because you thought of us, God. Father, how we love you. We praise you and we thank you for your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's prepare for tonight's offering.